You just hang on. You just press on through. Everything's going on. It's going to be all right. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to get any better on this earth, but we're going to make there for it. It's going to be okay. Dad read just a few minutes the words of stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You look at that word that is given to us there, and it is actually pointing a little bit, and it is actually meaning and can be translated to us of a readiness for active service to our Lord. And as you look at the construction of the verse, you'll notice that it is given to us in connection with truth. So in other words, that belt is in connection with truth. So we've been in our series now for the past few weeks. We took a week off last week because of Mission Emphasis Day. We've been talking about standing against the dark world of warfare, spiritual warfare. And here is the very first piece of armor that he tells us to put on. And I want to speak to you about what I'm going to call the belt today. I want to talk to you about tightening the belt of truth. I think all of us need to do that. Amen. Tightening the belt of truth. I'm thankful that you're here today. Father, help us, I pray. Thank you for our hearts have been challenged, Lord, in song just now about how we're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Lord, help our hearts and our minds to be locked into what you've got in your word on this Sunday morning. Draw somebody, I pray, to the Savior. May truth, Lord, reign supreme in our hearts and lives as a result of your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There was an older gentleman who was beginning to have some health problems, so he went to see his doctor. And his doctor immediately told him that he has got to change his diet. The doctor lectured him on the importance of eating right, and he told him what he could eat and what he could no longer eat. The gentleman left the doctor, went home, and he picked up his phone, and he called his sons to let them know about the concerns that he was having physically. He said that they would need to be informed upon that. So he explained what the doctor had done in putting him on a restricted diet and what he could and he could not eat. So a few weeks later, one of his sons called the aging gentleman back who was having the health problems, and he said, "Okay, Dad, the doctor has given you some instructions. How's the regimen going?" To which the father replied to the son and said, "I've changed doctors. I've changed doctors." I tell you, you got to stop and you got to think about that. But that explains you and I perfectly when it comes to this matter of truth in our life. Why? Truth in our day today, 2024, truth has become relevant. It has become relative, should I say, to whatever we hear, whatever we think, or whatever we really want to believe. If people in our day, including you and I, if we do not like the truth, what we're going to do is change doctors. We're going to change preachers. We're going to change churches. If we do not like the truth, we're going to manipulate the truth into what we want it to be. If we do not like the truth, we are going to make up our very own truth. But everybody in the house, listen to me. The truth is the truth. And there is no amount of what is popular, of what is politically correct, what is comfortable and convenient to any of us that is going to ever change the truth of that truth. So it's absolutely no accident whatsoever that as Paul was writing out the armor of God, that he begins this most critical, this first piece of armor that we must put on, it has got to be truth. If you are going to stand against the dark world of warfare, you've got to be anchored in the truth. Amen. And until truth, ladies and gentlemen, gets cemented into our hearts, we are never going to see the light of a victorious day in spiritual warfare. And what we've got to do today is we have got to tighten the belt of truth. Now, these are just a few words that we are given in this verse, but as we study the context, the clock, and the culture of the Scripture, there are three things that we see, and I want you to get them in your heart the way that the Lord has planted them within mine. And the first thing I want you to see about this matter of truth is the armor of identity. Did you know that? Truth is the armor of identity. Now, you've got to remember that in this setting, Paul has been surrounded by soldiers, really, most of his adult life. He had been surrounded by soldiers. But in this setting where he is writing in Ephesians chapter 6, he is actually chained as a prisoner to Roman soldiers. It's all he's seeing. All day, every day, he is seeing the Roman armor. So in verse number 14, as that verse is opening, we are seeing here the words given to us, "Stand therefore." If you go back and you count, you are going to learn that this is the fourth reference that Paul had made in this matter of withstand or to stand therefore in the middle of spiritual warfare. Four references in just these few verses. In times prior, if you know this passage of Scripture very well, you'll notice that Paul had always used the word beseech. That word beseech you'll see over and over throughout his writing, but in Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 6 as well. But in this setting right now, his mind is in full military mode. And he has given us, the Christian right here, the believer, the saved person, if you're saved today, say amen. Amen. He is giving the saved person, listen, a military command. It is not a suggestion that he is giving to us. Did you know that there are some things that God gives commands about and they are not suggestions? And it is here that he is giving us a military command, not a suggestion. And his command is stand. And we studied 2 weeks ago how that you've got to learn to stand before you can ever walk. You've got to learn to stand before you can ever run. You've got to learn to stand before you can ever fight. You've got to stand. And many of us today, we're still on the deck. We need to learn to stand up. I grew up all around the military. I mean, for years upon years, that's all that I saw. And it's all that I associated with. And so therefore, as time passed, I got to the point to where I could pass somebody on the street and I could pick somebody out if they had a military past or maybe even a present, they were active duty or whatever. And you could always look and you could tell sometimes by the way they were dressed. You can tell a Marine by his haircut. By the way that they carry themselves in general, the articulation in their speech, just in their life, the way their mannerisms are, and all of these things in general, you can tell that they were a military person. Now why? Because they are trained as a soldier to be distinct, a distinct conduct that they are to have. It was no different in the military days of ancient Rome as well. When you looked at a Roman soldier, they were carrying a certain special uniform. They had armor that was designed specifically for them. Now, back in these days, the soldiers of the Roman army, they were actually known, these elite forces, they were known as legionnaires. Did you know that? They were the legionnaires, and they were very easily able to be defined and seen and identified. They were the foot soldiers, maybe the special forces that we can call them, and they had the special forces surrounding Paul because they knew there was a power on him that was outside of this world. So the special forces of the legionnaires were surrounding Paul. These were the elite trained men. These were the men who had the specialty uniforms and the special armor, so they were easy to be identified. So Paul is looking at them and he is seeing them. He is looking at all the forms of armor as he is watching them every day, all day. He's looking at them and he is seeing that, and so he is strategically cataloging right here the first thing that you and I have got to put on. And so it is with this that he writes these words, having your loins, your belt, girt about with what? With truth. You look at this word loin that is given to us, it is pointing to the place of which would be our waist or maybe our hip area. And he's saying that it must be girt about, meaning it must be totally surrounded of this belt of truth. I mean, all the way around. And that's got to be tight to us, tightening the belt of truth. Now, this belt that we are talking about, as we will see in just a moment, it was a priority. It was the most critical part of everything that they would put on. Why? Because it identified them. It was the base or the foundation of everything else that they had. Just as truth would be that for the life of the child of God. In the Roman armor, the Roman military, they had to have that belt. They had to have that belt of truth that was upon them. And friends, you and I are not going to survive in this world until we nail down the truth of the Word of God in our life. We have got to have the weapons of truth if we're going to be the Christian soldier, especially if we're going to be victorious in spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, but I am learning in these past several months how real spiritual warfare is and how blatant it really can be in our faces as a believer in our world today. We're talking about truth. Now, I know that there's a lot of people here who could not care less about Greek. I realize that it's a little bit confusing, and I understand that. I don't necessarily care for it. I don't speak much at all of it. But you got to understand this. Sometimes you've got to read and you've got to study the Word of God in that context, clock, and culture, in that language by which it was written, translated into English for us today. But when Paul is writing this, listen, he is not talking only about a true and a false type of truth, okay? Certainly that would be the case, but that is not all that he is talking about. When you look at this and you study this word out, we are learning that it actually translated us as not concealed. As not concealed. Do you know that Christians today are living a concealed life? This lost world around us don't even know that we're Christians anymore because we are living concealed lives. You don't want people seeing you pray when you're at the restaurant. You don't want to see people carrying your Bible when you walk out of your house to go to church. You have to carry your Bible out in public. You don't want people to see that, it seems, anymore. Christians don't. But we are living concealed lives, it would appear. You know what the problem with that really is? That concealed life of being a child of God, of which we should not be able to understand. God's been so good to us and so merciful to us. We ought to want to wear him on our sleeve, wear him on our shoulder every opportunity that we've got. We should never conceal him, and we ought to be ashamed of the time that we have. So oftentimes, that attitude that we have gotten into, it is affecting every other area of our life. When it comes to this matter of truth, we are living in a day right now where truth is shaded. Truth is skirted around. Truth is concealed into whatever the person that is speaking of it or says he is speaking of truth really wants it to be, or that which would benefit him or her the most. See, my mom and dad, godly mom and dad, taught me that a partial truth is still a whole lie. A partial truth is still a whole lie. And the truth of that truth, which is God's truth, is what Paul is actually teaching us right here. He is requiring us that if we are going to survive in spiritual warfare, not just thrive, but survive in spiritual warfare, we've got to know the truth. You've got to know what the Word of God is teaching us and what truth really, really is. You've got to study the Word of God. You've got to realize that God has a truth, and it is not to be competed with any other source of this world. When I climb into the ditch to do war or to do spiritual warfare with or alongside of somebody, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, I am not overly concerned about how they identify as a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not concerned about how they identify as a man or a woman, as a Baptist or a Methodist or any other denomination that could be out there. Why? Because I am primarily concerned about if they identify with the truth. If they identify with the truth of the Word of God, all of these other things, they're going to line up just right on if truth is what they are really, really looking for. People in this world are looking at your life all day, every day. Did you know that? All day, every day. When they look at your life, what do they see? Do they see a life that is abiding by the truth of the Word of God? The Word of God has a truth for every area of your life. And we're going to study that tonight and next week, especially on some serious matters. There is truth that is out there, and you and I must align our lives with truth. Or do they see a life that is not identified with the truth? Do they see a life that is like, huh, I read in the Bible that wasn't right, but yet that person claims to be a Christian, but they're out there doing it? There is a truth problem somewhere. Kind friend, the very reason that so many of us today, professing believers, we are falling on the battlefield of spiritual warfare, in many cases before we ever even get started, is because we haven't nailed down truth in our lives. I've told you many times, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. I've learned that once we get that nailed down in our heart, in the beginning, God, we're going to have no other problem with anything else this Bible teaches us, because God is the truth. Amen. And you ought to identify your life with truth. Anything other is unacceptable. Identify with truth. It doesn't matter if you've not heard it. It's not the way that you've been raised. It's not something that modern day media and all of that is saying. It doesn't matter about any of that. Identify your life with the truth. And if you don't know what the truth is on something, God will let you know. Search His Word. Trust your spiritual conscience. God's truth. For truth is the armor of identity. Secondly, write it down. Truth is also the armor of, are you ready? Security. Truth is also the armor of security. So, to understand what Paul is actually illustrating here with this armor and this first initial piece and the belt of truth that we are talking about, we must know that this girdle or this belt that I'm calling it, it was the armor that the Romans held everything in place with. Everything else was held in place with this actual belt. Having their uniform all in order. Now, this belt, it was actually the most critical part. And again, we're going to see this developed in a moment. But it was the most critical part because without their belt being in place, everything else wouldn't work. The upper garment would fly open. The lower garment would fall down. Nothing else was going to work. This would not only leave them in a situation where they were exposed to the weapons of the enemy, but would also leave them in a very vulnerable spot and, hey, a very embarrassing spot it could be as well, without having their belt tightened and their belt secure. Now, if you've ever seen that great, that old, that award-winning, that high-stakes drama, that star-studded cast of a television show from a century ago that has formed American entertainment forever, The Three Stooges, then you know what I'm talking about when you've watched those and you know that one of the comedic routines that they would always do is that they would somehow make Moe, Larry, or Curly's pants fall down. Now, before anybody gets real concerned right now, let me just tell you that back in that day, 30s, 40s, 50s, and that kind of thing, it was a different world than we are living in today. The perverted world that we're living in today, when somebody's pants falls down like that, they will not in any way be appropriate or modest. But back in that day, they were always wearing long pink or polka-dotted shorts, you remember, of some type back in those days. And so it was something that was always entertaining for their audience. And there may be some here today that are so dignified, you are so refined, you are so polished, that you do not find that kind of thing funny with the Three Stooges. But for those of us that are ever, forever living in the eighth grade, it's just funny. I mean, it's just funny. It really is. But though it may be funny with the Three Stooges, or though it may have been funny even with that most unathletic, most uncoordinated guy that I played on my junior high basketball team with, that our teammates, I had nothing, of course, to do with this, but our teammates went in and cut the drawstring of his shorts before he ran out on the practice court one day, as that would be funny for all of my teammates to see, not me. Actually, it was really funny, actually. But as much as that may be funny to some, when you come to warfare, it is not funny. When you get out into the heat of the battle, the one thing that you do not want is your upper garment flying open. Is your lower garment, your undergarment, actually falling down. You do not want your armor falling off. It is not a funny thing. McGee tells a story about a very famous battle in history. And he tells it this way. He said, the battle that was won by a clever general who told his men to go in at night and cut the belts of the enemy soldiers while they were sleeping. The next morning, the enemy troops, they woke up and they could not shoot their guns with any accuracy because they were so busy trying to hold up their trousers. Therefore, the enemy lost the battle because their belts were not secure. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to have any hope whatsoever of winning the battle, of surviving in this spiritual warfare, you have got to secure your belt in this matter of truth. You've got to hold on to the truth. It's hard to fight. Especially, it's hard to win. It's nearly impossible when you're constantly trying to keep everything else together in your life because truth is insecure in your life. You see, without the belt of truth, they lost their defenses. Without the belt, they lost their courage and their confidence. Without the belt, they lost their dignity. Without the belt, they lost their life. And as we'll see in a moment, they lost their seed in the future as well. Without the belt, they lost literally everything. The belt, it went all the way around them, and it was issued upon them in a very secure and a tight way because they had to have it that way. Without that, it would be so unstable. Everything else would be uncomfortable. Everything else would be, it would cause just unsuccess in every way. They had to have the belt. Because the belt was their foundation of security that had held everything else in place, and it made everything else work properly. So as Paul is sitting here and he is writing under divine inspiration, he is no doubt sitting down when he is writing. He would have been looking to his left and he would have been looking to his right, and he would have been just about at waist high as he would have been staring there at the actual soldier of the Roman army, the legionnaire. And he looks at this and he says, what the people of God need more than anything, the first critical piece of armor, if they're going to survive in spiritual warfare, is the belt of truth. They must have the belt. It's the most critical part. You've got to anchor yourself, he's saying, in the truth. So then he writes down those words, having your loins girt about with the truth. In this, Paul realized that truth for the Christian soldier was just as the belt was for the Roman soldier. Without the belt, nothing else was going to work. Without the belt, our lives are just going to fall apart. Without the belt, it's all just going to fly open. Without the belt encircling every aspect of our lives and held tight to our hearts, we will not survive in spiritual warfare. You know what the devil wants us to do and what he's trying so desperately for us to do? The devil's doing everything he can while we're sleepy Christians to come in and cut the belt. Cut the belt so when we wake up and his attacks come, his arrows start to fly, his swords come our way, his spears are making its way toward us. What he wants us to do is be so tied up with trying to hold ourselves together, trying to reach for this and trying to reach for that, and we're wobbling all around just trying to survive in the battle because we did not have the belt. We did not have the truth secured in our lives. Notice it further. Don't you love the Bible? Amen. Notice what the Bible's about to teach us right now. We want to take careful note of that word loins that is given to us in the scripture. It is used here and it is actually speaking of, now listen closely, procreative power. Did you get that? It is speaking of procreative power. You see, attached to this girdle or this belt was a form of a piece of armor that was designed to protect the lower extremities of the soldier's body. I think that we all understand. But to continue to put it just as delicately as we can in this setting, the belt held in place a piece of armor that protected the future life, which was brought on through the closeness of a relationship. We must protect the truth because it is everything else having to do with the relationship that we have with the Lord. We must protect it in every way. That's why many of us today are running left and right, up and down, because it is not the closest and the dearest things to our lives. Now listen, simply put, we've got to protect this truth, and we have got to have total transparency, even with God, okay? Even with God, if we want to have His whole armor in this relationship. This is a big problem for professing believers today. For you see, we are living lives so many times of deceit. We're living lives with hidden sin in them. And we are not living the truth before God. And if you're not living it before God, We are certainly not living it before man. Ultimately, what is happening that you and I don't understand is when we have hidden sin in our life, when we're having this form of deceit in our lives, we cannot be fully armed because we're not being transparent with God. Are you following me? The only way you can have the armor of God is if you get honest with God. Totally transparent in the relationship. God is not going to let us hide anything from Him. Fellows, have you ever tried to hide something from your wife? Don't say a word. Wives, have you ever tried to hide something from your husband again? Don't say a word. But there is a hindrance there. Wouldn't you agree with me? Because there's something that is being hidden. Now, the difference in God and the difference in the average man and woman is God knows. You may be able to hide it for a little bit, but God knows. And so it hinders that relationship. There is a lack of transparency that is not there because we're not being honest. You really being honest with God about who you are? Honest with God about the truth that you say that you are living? I mean, when God looks at you right now, does He see purity? Does He see honesty in every way? You have got to stand on the truth. In a transparent way, stand on the truth. Scrap Hollywood's truth, for it is not truth. Scrap social media's truth, for it certainly is not truth. Scrap social media truth with is connected with the liberal media because it is not truth. Scrap political truth in this day that we're living in now. There's so many lies running left and right. It's ridiculous. Scrap all of that truth. Scrap the truth of what you want it to be, the truth of what you've always thought it to be, and just simply scrap it all and trust the truth of God and His Word. That is truth. Anybody who says anything opposite of the Word of God is not on the side of truth. We have students here today that are in the secular school systems, be it in high school or in college. I know some are doing some things online, and they're running into some problems these days with professors who are teaching things that are contrary to the truth. And they are putting things on the exams and the test that they want you to answer that are contrary to the truth. And in a recent case that I heard about, one of the professors was actually trying to convince their students that there were certain matters in history that disprove the Word of God. I don't see how a Christian can stand by and allow that indoctrination to happen because it is a violation of the truth. You can answer the questions how you want to, but you had better accompany a document with it stating that I'm answering this question this way, but here is what my conscience says. Here is what my conviction says. And above all that, here is what the truth of the Word of God says. John chapter 17 and verse number 17, you'll recognize it. Sanctify them therefore thy truth, he says. It is truth. Thy word is truth. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, let God be true, every other man a liar. Friends, it does not matter who they are. It does not matter how close they may be to us. It does not matter how much confidence that we may have ever had in them. If they ever tell you and I anything that is in contrary to the truth of the Word of God, they are a liar. Did you hear me? They are a liar. They are a liar. They are a liar. The truth is not in them. I've preached, God has given me the opportunity, thousands of sermons right here in this very place. Thank God for the opportunity that He has. And I tell you, I've tried my best to align ourselves with truth. We're not going to lean to the left. We're not going to lean to the right. You trust me, there's error in both. Stand up straight on the truth. Amen. You'll be all right. You don't have to answer to the left or to the right. You've got to answer to God. Stand up straight on the truth of the Word of God, and you'll be all right. We've dealt with salvation having to do with truth. We've dealt with sanctification repeatedly having to do with the truth. But it is with a broken heart that people who sit under the sound of my voice and the preachers of other voices as well that have stood in this place and out across our country and our world, and yet we go out and we still violate the truth. And we do it openly. We're not faithful to God. We're not appropriate in our presentation to the world. We're not faithful in our witness. We're not faithful in our service. We're not faithful in our giving. We're not faithful to the Lord in every way. And we are violating truth. And here's what ought to terrify you and I. It should frighten us. It really should. When we are not straight on truth with what we know to be right. And let me say, there are certain things that some of us may do that we don't know is right. We don't know we're doing something wrong. We don't realize that we're violating the Word of God. There is a difference in that individual and the individual that may sit and stand under the preaching of the Word of God and yet still walk out and openly violate the Word of God. There is a difference there. There is a rebellion there. There is a stubbornness in heart there that God is going to harshly, harshly judge. And we may think this truth just doesn't matter. But what we're forgetting, ladies and gentlemen, is when we are not aligning ourselves with a tender, broken heart, desiring and pursuing the best we can, truth, what we're forgetting about is we are, by our own choosing, removing certain parts of the armor of God, and we are not being protected in spiritual warfare because the truth is not really in us. We know what's right. We just won't do it. We know what pleases God. We just won't do it. We know what the truth of the Word of God has said, but we just won't do it. Because society has convinced us otherwise. Because the popular movements, the fads of the day, have convinced us otherwise. And truth doesn't dominate our hearts. Truth is not our chief concern. Truth is fighting a battle, having a tug-of-war match between our flesh. And more times than not, our flesh prevails. And when that happens, we have not adorned ourselves totally around and tightened completely the truth. Is it possible that many of us are fighting the spiritual battles that we are and we keep on falling? And we can't seem to get on track. We can't seem to be moving forward. And it's not just that, but there's something that is missing if you're saved in your heart. There is just a lack of satisfaction. There's a lack of happiness. There's a lack of confidence. There's a lack of joy. And the reason for that is because truth is not tightened all the way around us. It's not secure on us. For you see, truth, it is the armor of identity. People see it. Truth is the armor of security. Truth is the armor of priority. It is the armor of priority. I mentioned to you just a moment ago how that this was the most critical part that they put on. It was the foundational piece. Nothing else would work without that. And so, therefore, as the Roman soldier would wake up in the morning, he would crawl out of bed. He would go about the routine of his morning. He would go and make his eggs and his bacons. He would get his coffee, and he would go through his routine of the day. And then he would go and he would put on his lower garment. Then he would go and put on his upper garment. And then he would get his belt, and he would take that belt, and he would secure both of those pieces with the belt. For in some cases, the armor was secure to it, as we just mentioned, that future life. By the way, if you want to have good future spiritual life, you got to have the belt of truth. If you're going to produce good spiritual life, you've got to have the belt of truth. But he would put that belt on. And the belt held all of those other things in place and actually connected in many ways with the belt. And nothing else would be right. Everything else would be out of order if he did not have that belt. Remember, the upper garment would fly open. The lower garment, it would actually fall down. None of the armor would work. And he had to do that first. Why? He couldn't reach down and pick up a sword. He couldn't reach down and pick up his spear or his shield because that would tie up his other hands. And how many of you know that if you're going to put a belt on, you got to have both hands to be able to do it? The belt had to be the very first thing that went on. As a matter of fact, and watch it, and don't miss this right here. He could not run out of the house. He could not run out to work or run out to the battle because he would know that something was off balance. He would know that he was out of uniform. He would know that too many things were just moving all over the place and everything was not secured in his life. Ladies and gentlemen, as a child of God today, before you walk out of the house of your house to go out into your world, you ought to know if truth is not secure in your life. You ought to realize the fact, wait a minute, I've not spent time with God today. Wait a minute, what I'm wearing does not align with God's truth. Wait a minute, the countenance on my face, it is not aligning with God's truth. Something is not right. Everything is just out of order. I'm out of uniform as a child of God. I better run back inside and check and see what I am missing somewhere. That Roman soldier would not dare go out and report for duty without being completely in uniform. And that's the case with the child of God as well. You better not try to run out and have spiritual warfare without being completely in uniform for Him, having all of your armor in place. And it all starts with truth. Can I tell you today that if you are not going to nail down truth, no matter what it is, if you're not going to nail down God's truth, don't even try to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Don't even worry about putting your sandals on your feet. Don't even worry about the helmet. Don't even worry about it. You're not going to last. Without the truth, you're going down for the count. You've got to have the truth. It is a priority. It is with this that Paul is looking at this. He is considering this truth and all of this with the believer. He's saying this is a priority to us. No matter what we do, when we go out to work, when we go home, when we're at play, at recreation, or when we go to church, we've got to be secure in the truth. You know, if I had one message, Dad, that I could preach to every preacher in our world today, if I had one message that I could give to every teacher, one message that I could give to every professing child of God, one message, it would be tighten the belt of truth. Just focus on truth. Make truth a priority of everything else. I love testimonies. Do not take what I'm about to say as anything negative about testimonies. I love testimonies. And when the Holy Spirit of God moves on your heart to give one, then you do it. But I'm afraid in many of the average churches of our land today, testimonies have turned more into matters about them and not about the truth of who God is. Testimonies have turned into meetings where they are talking about things having to do with themselves and themselves only. Maybe a little bit about their loved ones. Maybe all of the accomplishments that they've had, or maybe the talents that they've had. And they'll talk about it this way, or they'll talk about it that way. And then they'll say, I just want to give the rest of my life to God. They paint this rosy, beautiful picture of themselves and say, I just want to give the rest of my life to the Lord. And it almost gives the impression that you're doing God a favor because you're bringing the talents, the skills, and everything that you've accomplished to God. You're helping God out. Can I tell you that when God got me, He got a mess. When God got me, I was all over the place. My armor was everywhere. I didn't have anything together. It was not a privilege when God got me. It was a privilege when I got God. But when I really got a hold of God, God started doing some things in my life. He started knocking off those rough edges. He started telling me, you've got to tighten that belt of truth in your life. Can I tell you today that anytime you stand to give a testimony before the Lord, you make sure that it is all about Him. You make sure that it is for His glory. You make sure that it is rooted and grounded in truth. Amen. And truth only. Amen. I fear that many teachers today are teaching heresies in churches. There's a very prominent church in the greater tri-state area that I used to do business with. And as doing business and going through the building, I noticed heresy in some of their literature. It bothered me greatly. A church that you would not even think would even be guilty of such things. But they had it. And it was a deep heresy. And that's why I'm telling you, you've got to be careful. Just because they have the Baptist name does not mean that they are rooted in the truth. It is dangerous. Heresy is everywhere. There are many preachers that are out there today. And they are not making truth a priority. Did you know that? Truth is something that they are building around their opinions and their ideals. their petty preferences on this side, and on this side, they are building it with popular pursuits. That's all they're interested in, and counting heads. And all they're interested in on some sides is just grinding an axe. Neither side is rooted in the truth. Are you listening to me this Sunday morning? God in His Word, listen, He is indicting the believer, you and I, if we are saved, He is indicting the believer because for far too long, we've been talking far too much about opinions being the Bible, when in reality, they are not in the Bible. And as a direct result, as years and decades have continued to pass, the church has eroded. And the church is dying today because truth has not been a priority. When my days are done, I want to be known as a man who stood for truth. I am not getting hung up in the weeds. When you start getting hung up in the weeds, that's when you start veering off. That has brought the modern church to the brink of destruction as it is right now. Stay locked into truth. Those who have been given the responsibility to bear the torch and to carry the torch of the truth of the Word of God, we ought to do it gladly. We ought to do it with a heart of gratitude for all God has done for us. We ought to do it very, 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 very carefully. But if you've been given the responsibility as a Sunday school teacher, the responsibility as a preacher, or as just a layman believer, you need to know that before you go out and speak of truth, we need to get back into the deep study of the Word of God so that we may know and that we may teach all that of which is truth. To know truth, to obey truth, to teach truth, to live truth. Why? Because it will honor God, it will glorify God. And also because that is the only way that we will ever have the full power of the Holy Spirit of God upon our life is if we stand firm upon the truth. I love John chapter 8, verse number 32. Jesus is speaking right here, and He says, "Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free." Now stop. Cast all of your opinions aside. He's saying, find the truth. And all the other bonds that you have, the chains that are holding you down, He'll break. Through His truth, I still believe that the truth will solve this school shooting problem in the United States today. I still believe that the truth will solve the drunkenness problem in the United States today. I still believe the truth will solve the drug problem in America today. It'll solve the immorality and the perversion problem in America today. It'll solve the dishonesty and the discord in our nation today. It'll solve our leadership problems today. The truth will do that. The truth will solve the dying Church of America problem that we have today. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil is a liar? He is the father of all lies. Deception is his business. Destruction is his middle name. Hell is his home address. Anything contrary to the truth is the devil's lie. It is the devil's lie. There is no time. And there is no place where Satan is more terrified than when the truth, I mean the seed of the truth, is being sown. He's terrified in those moments. That's why the spiritual warfare is so real. And boy, has it not gotten real here lately. Because as the seed of the truth of who He is as a liar and a deceiver is sown, He's going to attack your home and your life like never before. This church like never. I just got to the point this week, I'm not even asking you to invite people anymore. Just pray. Just pray. Be faithful and pray. And when we're faithful and we pray and we get right with God, the rest of these things will take care of itself. Are you seeing the problem? When we're faithful and we pray and we get right with God, everything else will take care of itself. Amen. We've got to fight our way through this. Now, because of all this, we must be absolutely certain upon the authority of God's word that we are right in what we are teaching. That truth is marching on. Truth is gaining ground. Truth is winning the battle. Truth is occupying brand new territory in this dark world of warfare that we are living in. Like many people have philosophies and they have ideas about what they like, they don't like. They have that in church too. They don't like certain things that are said. But folks, if it's aligning with the Word of God, they're just, if you're saved, there ought to be something about you and I. We just want the truth. We just want to hunger for the truth. What is the truth? I've never tried to force anybody to do anything that was not rooted somewhere in the truth. Everything we set up, everything we try to do, we try our best to root it in a principle of the truth of the Word of God. We have got to do this because just think of what the alternative is of not having our loins girt about with truth. You walk out of here without this belt of truth. You're going to go out and you're going to die on the spiritual battlefield. Or at best, you're going to be so badly wounded that you'll never be able to recover from it because truth was not rooted in your heart. We or our families will likely never be the same and be all of who God ever wanted us to be because truth is not reigning supreme. Is your life totally encircled with and tightened down with the truth of the Bible? Or are you trying to scoot around it a little bit, skirt around it a little bit, trying to shade it, trying to conceal it? You know the truth, but you're just not doing it. Your life is unarmed, and there's no point in you even listening to the breastplate, you listening to the sandals, you listening to the helmet. Unless you're willing to get serious here about the truth. Back a few years ago, the Betty Ford story aired on television. Maybe some of you saw it many, many years ago. Now, this was a movie that was told about the story of Betty Ford, her addiction that she had, drinking, and the recovery that she had through it. Now, there was one particular point when there was a very emotional time. And it was the time of when the family had sat down Mama Ford and they were telling her, really confronting her about what she had turned into. And one of the sons in that scene in the movie, he spoke up and he said, "Mother, you are destroying yourself. You are destroying this family and you are killing yourself. Mother, you are an addict. You are an addict and you are a drunk." Well, Mother Betty didn't take very nice to that. She was infuriated by it. She was insulted by it. She turned around and lashed out at the son that had said this to her. And she said to her son, she said, "You have no business saying those things to me. How can you say those things? You're being very disrespectful. I am your mother." To which the son looked at his mom and he said these words. He said, "Mother, I can say it because it is the truth." It is the truth. It was this moment of confrontation that led to the forming of the Betty Ford Clinic in California. You can agree or disagree with its philosophies. I certainly have a position on that. But that's what led to it. And through the years, this clinic has focused and has built its entire reputation on helping people who are dealing with addiction. Why has it been so successful? It goes back to a confrontational moment on a couch where the guilty party, that's you and me, by the way, was confronted with the truth. That's God. Somebody had the guts to tell her the truth. God is trying His best to tell us some truth. You may be sitting here today and you may think, you can go ahead, Mick, you may think that you have no problem with the truth. You've got the truth secure all the way around you and it's tight. I hope that's the case. But I think you're made of the same stuff that I am. It's flesh. And while I certainly do hope that that is the case, I imagine every one of us need to tighten the belt of truth if we're going to go out here and try to have any success and survival in this world of warfare. Do you have a hunger for the truth? Let's stand to our feet. Your loins girt about.